All right, we're back. See here. Why don't we go ahead and open in a word of prayer and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the word. Thank you for this second session. I just pray that we can continue to grow, continue to learn more and more so that we can better and more consistently glorify you. Thank you for this congregation and ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, we left off with looking at 2 Corinthians 4. Paul had a lot to say and has a lot to say, I feel, about suffering. And, you know, suffering is one of those areas of our life where if you're not in it, you will be shortly. Just give it a little bit of time. Give it a few seconds, right? And it'll be there. So, but here, what the focus is, I think, in all these verses is what we lean on, what we put our trust in, what do we look to our solution, for our solutions. And there's so many options when it comes to the physical world that it can become burdensome in your own life, always choosing those things that are outside the spiritual realm of what the Word of God wants us to choose, which is always in faith, right? Faith is that which you cannot see, as we'll see here shortly. So 1 Peter 1:8 brings that point out. It says, "And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Same concept. You don't see him, yet you learn about him, and you come to a point where you love him. The scripture is very clear about that. Even though you don't physically see him, Jesus isn't physically walking on this earth, but he's given us his word, and he's still with us, but it's spiritually. And it's just because we can't see him doesn't mean that we can't have that close personal relationship and love him. So it's just like a physical person. You spend time with them and you come to get to know them and you get to know who they are. Same thing with the word, right? We spend time with God through his word. We get to know him. We learn about how he deals with us. We learn about his attributes. We learn about his grace. We learn about his love for us. And all of a sudden we're like, you know what? This guy isn't so bad after all. And you begin to love him as you learn more and more about him. So, awesome, good verse here to remember. But not to mention, last I checked, it's faith that pleases God. Not looking to the physical. That's what the scripture tells us. It's only faith that pleases him. And so, and remember what faith is listed as or defined as. It's based on the assurance of things not seen. And that's why that's an important verse to remember, because it goes hand in hand with this verse and the verse we're looking at in the book of 2 Corinthians. So, and there's many more. I mean, we could cover a lot. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on this earth. Clear right there, right? This is a priority issue right here. You can easily get wrapped up with your mind set on the things on this earth. Very easy to do. We get so caught up in our circumstances, so caught up in our, the things that we have going on in our lives, relationships, things at work, kids, you name it. And I'm not saying you should take anything away from those, but it's what you're setting your mind on is what matters. And that means hanging your hat on it, hanging your confidence, hanging your faith on it. And it shouldn't be on the things that are on this earth. And there is a definite shift there in this verse. It's showing us. What about Jesus himself talked about this? Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be, or will be also. You know, it's interesting, and that's very, very true. You know, wherever your treasure is where your heart is. And wherever where that treasure is, there's also that process of storing up for that treasure. If it's a career, that's where your heart will be, in that career. If it's family, it'll be in family. If it's in a job or in a friend, if it's in a social realm, it'll be in that, wherever that may be. But you can definitely see if you're storing up in those areas, they're going to go away. And not only that, but there's nothing perfect. All of a sudden now those things that you were hopeful for and you finally got there, it's not what you expected it to be. Because why? Because it's not, we live in a sinful world and those things are to not be our priority. So it says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, which never go away, ever. That's the point that is exciting to me. So I think all these reasons are compelling that we've talked about, but if they aren't, I'd say most importantly, you've been called to do these, right? 1 Peter 2:21, that's the book that talks about suffering. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. You know, if Christ was focused on the physical things, he wouldn't have completed his mission. He had to focus on the spiritual, on the unseen, on the filling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he was led by the Spirit, is what the verse told us. We've got the same Spirit. These things are spiritual issues, and they're all they're brought out here, but they're specifically brought out in the life of Christ because it says he's the example. He made the right decisions and he suffered more than we could ever, ever suffer, but he did it in a way that was pleasing and in accordance with the Father's plan, right? So it's interesting that all these verses all talk about either things that you can see or things that you can't see. And, you know, it keeps going back to what you think. What you think. I know we started off this lesson in it's how you think, right? It's mind over matter. I know that's a kind of a worldly saying, but we've got to think about the mind as the spiritual component of your soul. We could say it's heart over matter. Spiritual, I'm trying to get to. It's a spiritual, it's a soul over matter. Let's go there, right? So you've got to have the information to be able to successfully make it through the testing and be in accordance with the standard that God has given us. There is a standard, by the way, in suffering. There is definitely a standard. And we can achieve that standard through God and his perfect righteousness, or we can do it by looking to the things of the world, which is not achieving anything, right? There's no standard. So I almost should have called this the mind of Christ study. Anyways, and we saw a little bit about that, right, in Philippians 2. What does that look like? Well, there's a little bit of it, a tad of it. There's the mind of Christ. Just a little bitty snippet of what we were given in that verse. You know, and when you look at all these things, you say, okay, that's great. I see that. You know, we read that. These things are invisible. They start in the mind. They express themselves in the physical. We can all fake these. We can all be these or look these, at least out here. But if it's not a invisible component of who you are spiritually, if this isn't in part of your soul, it's not going to be genuine. It's not going to be glorifying to God, because remember, God sees the heart. So we can act it, we can fake it, but you can't fake what's a part of you and what's in you. That comes out as a natural component of the spiritual life. So all great things, but they all start spiritual. Not be selfish, not thinking too highly of yourself. And by the way, we're all capable of doing just the opposite of every one of these, because we have a sin nature. We're capable of being selfish, and we are selfish, and we do think too highly of ourselves, and we don't have humility, and we look out for our own personal interests if we're not taking in the Word of God. Spiritual component is everything. It's everything. It's how you think. And you know, it's how you live too. So I think these are what define a Christian, or partly what define a Christian. And, you know, as we go through this study, if you're kind of beating yourself up a little bit, how am I going to do all this? How, you know, this is too overwhelming. You're looking at it wrong. Because we can easily get wrapped up into thinking that we're not good at something. I can't tell you how many times I'm not good at this. I'm not built for this. I'm not even a social person. I don't even like people. I've heard that one too. How am I going to do this if I can't even do all these things? I can't be out, you know, and do this and do that. We're thinking about it wrong, because God is the one who provides us with what we need to do whatever you need in the capacity that He puts you in on this earth. And there will be a constant struggle that wants to pull you into the human side of those things. The one that doesn't like people, the one who isn't social, the one who doesn't like to get up in front of people, the one who doesn't like to teach and talk and all these things, or make relationships or talk about Jesus Christ. Those are going to pull you in that direction. But guess what? There's a faith component that has to come into play, or you will continually go back to that human side, and just that will leave you stagnant. It will leave you sitting over here. It will leave you not doing what you need to be doing in the plan of God. So there's so many focuses that you can have. And if you focus on the limitations of your human self, which is all the things that I just described, and actually I think a lot of those, some of those include the sin nature. Well, guess what? Limitations are focused on the visible. That's what that's for. We're focused on the physical. If we're not good at something, that's the physical. So, you know, look at Philippians 2:5. We've got a command there. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ. That's saying He had it, so you have it. He didn't look at His human limitations and say, okay, this is it. I'm just going to sit this one out, guys. This hurts too much. You know what? I'm not a very social person, so I really don't feel like presenting who I am to these people to save them eternally. He could have sat out a bunch of times. He could have said, no, you guys go ahead without me. I'm good on this, right? He didn't have to say He was Christ. He didn't have to say He was God. He could have just said, no, let's just bypass all this persecution and suffering. But He didn't. So what is that saying? We've all got a decision to make. We've all got a decision to make. You're going to come up to a road in your life where you're going to have to make a decision on which direction you're going to go. Are you going to stay comfortable in the human side of all this, in the physical, in the visible side? Are you going to allow that faith to be connected and let God give you what you need and let Him do it and watch Him continue to do it through the whole whatever ministry He has you in? Because guess what? We can't do it. We can't do it. I can't do this by myself. I can guarantee you that. I would never show up. I'd stay in bed. If I was relying on myself, I wouldn't be here. Right? God is the one who gives us the strength. He gives us the energy. He gives us the vitality, as I mentioned earlier. And He uses the gift that He's given you in a way that is showing His ability, His power in your life. That's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about taking advantage of what He's given you in your spiritual life. So, it's just funny. You know, you look at yourself. Well, you know, I've heard I'm not even a polite person. I can't be nice to people. It happens. I understand, right? But at the end of the day, you've got to reach and have this attitude in yourselves that was also in Christ. It's not a command for no reason at all. It's a command because God knew we needed some motivation to follow the command. He knew that we would sit back and not do it if it wasn't something that needed to be done. So just keep that in mind, because if you don't hear it, you're not going to think it. If you're not consistent with it, you're going to think it sometimes and not the other. It's not going to ever be right. If you're consistent with it, day-to-day basis, it's going to become more natural to you. It's going to become more easily available. You know it's always there. You know, say what? I've done this. I've been there. But you know what? It's not that bad. Why? Because you understand now that it's not dependent on what you have or your abilities or what you can do. It's dependent on what God can do and what He's going to do if you just trust Him and follow His lead. So that's a command. So don't get caught up in, you know, what you like or what you don't like or what turns you on or what turns you off. There is a plan, and that plan is going to stretch you. It's going to pull you. It's going to, reach your limit. It's going to do everything that is involved with the word that we studied, testing. Testing. You got to be tested. You have to be tested. And not to mention, look at this verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And amen. So you know this is Paul. And if anybody could tell us about the power of God in their personal life, it's Paul. No doubt. He was in prison. He was persecuted. He was beat. He was excluded, right? Everything that could happen to Paul, physically, pain, he was involved with it. But look what he's telling us. He's like, you know what? There's something a lot bigger and better than yourself. And I like how he says there's to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Guess what? You can only pray for what you can think of. Outside of those realms, you know what? You can't cover all the bases. There's too many details to cover. You don't want to see this person. You don't like that person. You don't know how this is going to go. You're unsure. See how the human side of us kind of creeps in? All of a sudden, now we're worried. We're not going. We're just not showing up because we don't want to see. We don't want to talk to. We don't want to do. We don't want to explain. We don't want to have to do these things. But He's the one who's already considered all the things that we can't even think of. He's considered them. And you're not realizing that if you just extended the faith, expressed the faith, put the faith in place, that those details that you're worried about would be taken care of. Now, how simple is that? Well, it can be very simple. It depends on you. It depends on what you want to do. It depends on what direction you decide to go. There's always two options, right? There's the two options again. They're coming back up. So you see these two highlighted words. These are actually the same Greek word here. They're just translated slightly differently, but you know, you get the idea. It's ability. Power. Ability. How much you have. How much you're given. What you can do. I guess what you're capable of. That's what the word is. Capability. And when it's related to God, you can understand why they're translated this way. Because now to Him who is power to do far more abundantly doesn't really make sense. But ability does. So one translation is able, which is talking about not your ability, not what you can do. It's talking about God's ability and what He can do. The next word is power, which is not our power, it's God's power. So, and this word also means the potential to function in some way, to possess capability because of external factors. I like that. External, outside of yourselves. This is something that's given to you. That you, God is providing you to do something, to perform something, to accomplish His will. You've got to have it. He equips us. He's the one who prepares. But He's got to give you the command to equip yourselves. Because you got to we have to show up. We've got to show up. I always go back to that, right? If you're not at least making the decision to present yourself in obedience, at least say, here I am, do what you like. And I think that does include this. This is part of showing up. But there's also a second part of showing up after the learning process, which is in God's ministry for you. What does He want you to do? Does He want you to keep avoiding that suffering? No. He wants you to look to Christ as the example and suffer in such a way just like He did. Just like He did. Which is eternal in value, remember? We just saw verses that covered that. So, this word is also all these things that this is talking about, guess what? They're given, but they're so often not taken. So often not taken. God's ability and power are there and waiting and given to every Christian on the earth. Actually, available to anyone who wants it. But the reality is, do we desire to take it and use it? I don't know. That's up to you. I'd say God's ability has covered all the bases. I'd say His power has everything covered as far as your limitations, your lack of, you know, whatever, social skills, lack of the ability to speak. I've got that problem many times. They just can't talk. Things don't come to mind, right? But God gives us the ability. He gives us the power. Gives you what you need. And I think the takeaway from this verse is right here. All this ability, all this power, it's not out here. It's not on a shelf. It's inside of you. In you. It works within you. That's huge. That is a huge deal. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture here. What you ask or think is not the focus of this verse. That's not the focus. The focus is God's unlimited power that works within you. Within you. Of course, within your means, right? Whatever He has you in, wherever He has you going, wherever, whatever He has you doing in life, He has the ability to give you what you need, and He does give us what we need. When we need it. So you either choose for Him or against Him. That goes right back to that, to the old volition. So don't get caught up in what you can or can't do. Because we can all go there. And if you go there, you will quickly be let down. We're so limited. We're so fragile. You know, we can't do much. You know, something happens, we're toast. Right? So here we go. Going back down where we left off in the book of 1 Peter. Remember, we're still looking at that occurrence of Christian. We just kind of took a detour and we're coming back to 1 Peter. I do that a lot. I get distracted. I'm blaming the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 4:12. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing." Remember, that's Peter telling him, as though some strange thing were happening to you. And I'm going to go down to where the word actually is and where you actually, I don't think I read this. Verse 15 is where it says, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." This is verse 13 and 14. Why don't we keep trucking here? Verse 15, it says, "Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler, But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Well, there's the word. We finally made our way to it. I kind of kept it from you for a while there, but there it is. That's the occurrence right there. But I think we can better understand how we got here now that we went all the way through wherever I drug you through. But you can see that there's still that contrast happening here. There's actually three commands in this verse in the imperative mood. Actually, I didn't highlight them for you. The first one is to not suffer as all these things. To not suffer in this way. Make sure that none of you suffers in all these things. A murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. Well, the first two of these are pretty self-explanatory. A murderer and a thief. I think we can all translate that. We all know what that means. An evildoer is someone who is always up to no good. Always up to no good. There's plenty of these online. Ever get any online scams? Oh, yeah. Ever encounter the guy who wants a down payment? Wants a, what do you call it? He just wants a little bit of the money and then you can come pick it up later. Deposit? Earnest money? Deposit? Yeah, don't do it, right? He'll say, have everything in the world that the story is there and everything's in place if you just send that deposit. Evildoer. He's a scammer. He lives his life by doing evil things. Most likely, we'll go there. And, you know, this could be something as simple as taking advantage of the system. Taking advantage of the system. We see that a lot today. It's amazing to me how integrity goes right out the window when there's a check involved. If we can get a check every month, integrity goes right out the window. There's no honor, there's no respect, there's no dignity. There's nothing. If I can get that check in the mail every month, whoosh, there it goes. That's the world we live in, right? I mean, hey, if you can get it, get it. If you can get it for nothing, get it. It doesn't matter how you get it, just get it. Oh, it's free? Just get it. You don't have to do that. No, don't worry about that part. Realize that's what's kind of draining our country right now? Got a lot of people on welfare that aren't supposed to be on welfare. Got a lot of veterans right now who are sucking the system dry because the government is promoting getting on some kind of benefit for something that's not even wrong with them. You got all these veterans signing up for a medical paycheck in the mail when there's nothing medically wrong with them. Disability to me is being disabled to do something. That's what that means. You don't just sign something because you want to get over the system just to get some money. Where's the honor? Where's the integrity? See, it's not just in the higher levels of government anymore. It's within the people. This is not a governmental problem. This is a national people problem. Evil. It's evil. It's making wrong decisions just for the sake of money. Greed. Who got me off on that side note? I think it's part of it. Part of it. It's all evil. Don't let money make you evil. So anyways, that's just one example, but there's a lot of them. Then the troublesome meddler. I'm sure you all know one of those. Maybe we were one. Who knows? This is a person who is always meddling in other people's business. Interesting. Always meddling in other people's business. And always usually getting in trouble as a result of that. Or dragging other people in there, or causing drama. This is the drama queen. And this can be a guy. Don't get drama kings are out there too. Drama queen and drama king. Stirring up the pot, always gossiping, maligning other people, talking about somebody behind their back, and all of a sudden now you got all these people involved that shouldn't have been involved, right? That's the troublesome meddler. Gossip. So anyways, you can see that this is a kind of meddling that'll get you in trouble. And all he's saying is that don't suffer because of these things. You know, why go through life living in a way that has to do with straight discipline and that's it? I mean, you know, don't do that. He's saying there's a much better way. There's a much better way. Because guess what? If you suffer, let's say you're an online scammer. Let's say you live your life by scamming other people and making money off other people that way. And you're constantly, nothing is going right in your life. You can't figure out why. Nothing seems to be right. Always something wrong. Relationships are out of whack. Everything's popping at the seams, but you just need that money, right? At the end of that life, guess what? You got all that suffering built up. I'm pretty sure there's no glory in that suffering that's built up. And there's a lot of shame that goes with all that collection of suffering and that lifestyle and the reason why he suffered for what he did. There's a lot of shame that goes with that, right? We don't have to do that. There's no reason why we need or have to do that. There's a better way to suffer than just for the sake of suffering. There's a much better way. In other words, to do it for the sake of righteousness. So, I mean, if suffering is going to be a part of the lifestyle, why not make it be worth something, right? So, and this is the second command here. We're being commanded to not be ashamed. He is to not be ashamed. That's a command. In other words, whatever suffering you are involved in will be something that you're not shameful of. You don't regret it. You went through it and you look back on it and it's something to be, it's honorable. It's something to be proud of. It's something that's worth something. It's something that you have at the end to stand on and to be worthy of that counts for all eternity. So, and all this is really boiling down to is, are we suffering for unrighteousness or are we suffering for righteousness? Same subject that we've been talking about. Are we suffering for the things that we can see? Really, that's a lifestyle of things you can see, or the things that you can't see. They all go together, don't they? So, and then the third command, so don't be ashamed. And then finally, the third command is to, instead of being ashamed, glorify God in this name. And in this name is pointing back up to the Christian, the name of a Christian. Don't do that, but suffer in the name you've been given and been assigned as a believer in Jesus Christ, a Christian. That's the name, that's what you are. You're in Christ, you're of Christ, you're a Christian biblically. You're a Christian according to these definitions. You're a Christian eternally. So it's saying be a Christian throughout, spiritually, genuinely, in your life, how you live. And that includes this right here. Glorify God in the name of a Christian. And then here's verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteousness is saved, or the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? So now it's making the obvious contrast about what we have the options to do, or what we have the options to reject. To accept or reject. Obviously, those are huge. And it's pointing out some big ones here. It's talking about eternal salvation. When I think about suffering for rejecting the gospel, rejecting who Jesus Christ is, guess what? There's going to be shame involved there. Because that just takes one decision. That just takes believing in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I can't mistake that verse for anything else. So when you get there and you're waiting and here's your judgment for eternity in hell, not just a few months. You know, I keep thinking, I hope God changes his mind when we get up there. It doesn't say that he's going to in Scripture, by the way. That's just me talking to you. But eternity in the lake of fire is a long time to suffer because of the rejection of Jesus Christ. And so the comparison made here is, why not do something here while we can, while we're able, instead of waiting until the end where we're out, we can't make that decision anymore. Opportunity. Another thing, opportunity. You can take all the easy ways out. You can be unsocial. You can not like people. Those are all fine things. They're all human things, whatever. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to pick up your cross. And we all have to pick up our cross, myself included, and none of it is going to be a cakewalk. Nobody said it's a cakewalk, but it is a decision that we all have to come to grips with, and we all have to make and say, okay, God, if this is what you want, if this is what you want, this is what I want. Well, we've all got to come to that place, because I'm telling you, that is not an easy decision to make. It's not an easy decision to make, because it includes that sacrifice that is not always the easiest thing in the world to come to grips with, that you're putting yourself in. But look, we've been seeing verse after verse that says, look to Christ as the example. Look to Him as the example, not ourselves. This is eternal stuff that we're talking about. We can say, yeah, I want to go do this. For what? For what? You want to do what God wants you to do. That's what you want to do. Because it's eternal things that we're talking about. We can be the best whatever, live the American dream. Have a family, raise great kids, they all go off to whatever and have great lives and make a lot of money and we can live it up, we can have a lot of things. But guess what? All that's going to go. That's all going to go. When they get to heaven, if they rejected these things that we're talking about now, they're not going to have a thing to show for. Except hopefully that they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But what you see is not what you get. Right? What you see is not what you get. And that definitely applies in this study. Because there's a lot of people living by what they see. And you know what? We're not in eternity right now. We're in an earth that goes away. We're in a body that goes away. We're in dealing with things and sin natures that go away. And all these things are physical. They're all temporary. So, if you're going to suffer, do it in a way that is pleasing to God. Verse 19, therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. I mean, that's on our conscience. Do you want to do what is right? Do you want to look back and say, I want to do what is right? I'm talking about a divine right. I'm not just talking about it. Yeah, this is right, this is wrong. I'm talking about what is right to God. What is right for from His point of view for your life. That's what we're referring to. And you know, there's part of this right here that says suffering for the will of God and entrusting your soul to a faithful Creator. You know what? That takes you. That involves you. That involves your decisions to entrust that with Him. And I think that's really responding to your calling. Responding to your calling. That is a process in itself. So, I think that's a good place to stop. But really, this is boiling down to obedience keeps popping its head up. Sacrifice keeps popping its head up. And at the end of the day, both of those have great meaning that is beyond comparison to anything that you can put your faith in on this earth in the physical sense. Nothing can compare to you making that decision to do what is right. Nothing can compare. We'll talk about it after we die. And then you tell me, yes, that was correct. Because the things you're doing now count for then, for sure. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the word. I thank you for this day. Thank you for the continued dedication of the people to listen, to learn your word. I pray that we have the perseverance, the dedication, just the continued drive to move forward in your plan. I know that comes from you, and I just pray that we can get that motivation from you and continue. Not make wrong decisions, to stop, to take breaks, just to move forward. It's what it's all about. I thank you so much and ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.